This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. We are in Florida this month, where it is beautiful. Pastor Kyle Horner is back in Jersey. We have two special guests this week. With Ohio ties, Pro Football Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz, who played for the Cincinnati Bengals, and our good friend, Hollywood producer, filmmaker Nick Kellis, who wrote and directed a movie called A Walk with Grace, which was shot in his home state of Ohio. He will join us also later on in the show. Remy and I got to know Nick when he produced our Bridezilla's episodes 8 years ago. You remember that?
How crazy. That was like the best.
Can you believe it's been 8 years? Wow. We've remained friends, and we wanted Nick to come on to share with you about his movie, A Walk with Grace, which is a beautiful faith-inspired story. So you're going to hear that interview coming up after Anthony Munoz also comes on a little bit later on. We've all heard the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover, right, babe?
Yeah, we have. And
I tend to do that.
But I go with the author. I don't really care what the cover is. I care about the author.
Don't judge a book by its cover. It's meant to, we shouldn't prejudge someone based on an outward appearance or first impression. So when you and I were on Bridezilla's and then we were on Marriage Boot Camp and we followed that with the Remy and Rob pilot, many viewers, I would say, judged us by our cover, our outward appearance, the roles that we played, the characters that we created, and we rocked those roles and we had a ton of fun doing it and we certainly enjoyed the journey. But what people saw didn't really tell the true story of who we are. And everything that we did had a purpose. We had a bigger plan. Some people judged us by our cover. But there were many others who began to follow us on social media that got to see what's really inside our cover. Once you open that book, once you turn the page, and we turned that platform that we had into a mission field to inspire and encourage people to walk with Christ. I love this Bible verse, 1 Samuel 16:7, and it says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Amen.
See, God doesn't care about our fancy clothes. I know you got a giant closet filled with fancy clothes, but God doesn't care about our fancy clothes. He doesn't care about what we do for a living, how much money we have in a bank, what kind of car we drive, the size of our house. This is beautiful and all of that stuff. But all the material possessions and all of the things that we accumulate, God doesn't care about that. He cares about what's inside our heart. So we can fool the world, but there's no faking it with the Lord. He knows our inner thoughts. He knows our deepest desires, and he knows our true motivation. Mm-hmm. So putting on a show on television, even under the guise of reality TV, that's not real. Our reality is who we are every day and what we do for the kingdom and how we walk with Christ and how we try to point people toward him. And our reality is that we don't always do a great job at it, right?
Yeah.
You and I both always admit and always come on the show and say how some days are good days, some days are bad days.
We all fail, right?
Yeah. Every one of us has good days and bad days. Every one of us, no matter who we are, I will say this every time I'm on the air, every time I'm off, the only perfect person was Jesus. He was the only perfect person. But through it all, though, through the ups, through the downs, through the good, through the bad, we don't waver. Christ is at the center of everything that we do, and our mission is to share him with as many people as we can. So I feel like all of us have a book cover. Every one of us has a book cover, whether you're a published author, right, or not. Your life, your outward appearance, that's your book cover. But do we spend more time working on that cover, trying to impress as many people as we can, or do we focus more on what's inside our hearts? I don't think there's anything wrong with working on your outward appearance, right?
I like working out, looking good. I don't know.
there's nothing wrong with working on your outward appearance,
right?
Because sometimes when you feel better when you are better able to present yourself and you're proud of your appearance, but to focus all of our attention on outward and our cover, but not our inside, I feel is missing the point. And that's really the message that I'm hoping to convey, especially with this episode, because you know, what's inside your cover? What's inside your cover is a really deep question that I'd love for people to just entertain, to think about, and say, what's inside my cover?
Right. What is inside my cover? A lot. I'm a complex human. There's just so much going on. But I take that to heart, though. I really do work on myself a lot. And I think it's very important to take care of what's inside, because what's inside will eventually come out.
Yeah.
And sometimes people look at you and say, oh, what a beautiful woman or whatever. And then you sometimes people open their mouth and they're like, whoa, a lot of stuff come out that you're not really sure where it came out from. Yeah. But it's because what's in your heart always comes out eventually. And you have to work on your heart. You have to work on what God is really want to do for you and what it is that your heart is supposed to be like. You need to work on that every day so it comes out. And when you're squeezed in situations and things like that, the good stuff come out, not the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. So both, I think they go hand in hand, though. If you work on your inside and the outside looks crazy, it's not a good combination. I think it's the inside and the outside have to look good, because God gave you that body to work on as well and to cherish and to you know, work out and eat good and feel good so you can do and be the best that God wants you to be.
Yeah, and I agree that it's a whole lot easier to, I think, feel better about yourself when you're able to go through life proud of or happy with how you're presenting yourself, right?
Right.
But we know and see so many people that on the exterior, they may look a certain way, but on the interior, you may be ugly inside. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about this so many times that for years, when I was, before I knew the Lord like I do now, I worked so hard on my exterior to mask my interior. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we may run into that where we work extremely hard on the exterior because we're hiding what's inside our heart. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a great balance where you can put in the work, put in the time, put in the effort to work on the outward appearance, but don't ever lose focus or lose sight of what's inside our heart. Right. Because I will always say this, God's not looking at a beauty pageant. He's not judging us based on whether or not we can win a beauty pageant. God's looking at us for who we are as a person. How do we love? Right. How do we care? How do we forgive? How do we try our best to imitate His Son, Jesus Christ, in our daily activities?
And you know, that's the hard stuff. Sometimes we think it's easy to work on the inside and not the outside. It's actually the other way around. It's so easy to just go to the gym and work out or get plastic surgery or, you know, cosmetic surgery. It's true. It's just easy. You know, go get it done and you're done with it.
But actually, I'm scared of doing it, though.
I'm terrified. But the inside is kind of the hard job.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take just you reading self-help books. It actually takes a lot of Jesus and a lot of reflecting and a lot of like hard looks at yourself and say, wow, I'm doing this wrong. I'm reacting wrong. I'm not loving right. I'm not doing things the way Jesus does them. So you always have to invite Christ into your heart to do some major work. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes years of work and practice to be patient with yourself and others and love the way God loves.
Well, I'll say this in closing here for this segment, that I'm really proud of the way you have been so intentional about working on your interior. Because when we met, when we worked on as Nick knows, back when we filmed Bridezilla's and Marriage Bootcamp and all that, and just the character that you portrayed and who you were, this diva and everything, it was all about the exterior, but you were working on your interior in many ways. And I continue to see that. And I'm really proud of the progress that you continue to make and how deep you are into self-reflection. And for people out there who are listening, like, I can't walk down the stairs one day where I don't see this woman buried inside deep into a book that is a spiritual Christian author or and of course your Bible. And I just love the depth of your knowledge, and I'm really proud of you for that. Up next, we're going to hear from Pro Football Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
This is Emma Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show presented by Cairn University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show since we started way back in 2017. There's over 100 episodes, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. We are also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. We would really appreciate it if you would take a few minutes to subscribe to the Faith on the Field podcast, rate it, and review it. We love hearing from all of our listeners. And personally, I got to tell you, I can't thank you enough for sending so many notes of appreciation for what we do here. It really is very encouraging to read your messages. So thank you. We love to hear from you. We truly appreciate it. Tell your friends, share it out. Thank you so much. If you don't already, you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook. We're at Faith on the Field. You can sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode delivered right there to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media. I love connecting with everyone. I'm at Rob Maddi, M-A-A-D-D-I, on all my social platforms, except Instagram, where it's at Real Rob Maddi. Remy is at Remy Maddi, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll also let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we've got coming up if you want to come out to see us. Always love meeting people at the various events. I am so blessed to do a ton of work that I love in sports media, and I'm incredibly, just so very passionate, as I'm sure you can tell by this show, about sharing my message of finding victory and finding peace, finding fulfillment in Christ, taking Jesus to my marketplace. I'm so grateful that I've had amazing opportunities on many stages over the past couple years. So many wonderful people have brought me in to be a speaker at their event or to host their event. I've hosted events with Tim Tebow, several with Carson Wentz, with Doug Peterson, Zach Ertz, Jordan Hicks. I've had the opportunity to, the privilege really, to speak to audiences of thousands. And I've had the opportunity to speak to smaller, intimate settings and, of course, continue to minister to inmates in prisons as part of the Deacon's Prison Ministry. My goal at the start of 2020 was to be more available so I can reach even more people. And now that football season, the grind of the football season is over, and I'm refreshed, I'm relaxed from coming back and covering the Super Bowl, I am ready to go. So if you'd like to have me speak at your church, your business, your school, your conference, or any other event, or maybe host your function or event, please contact Hannah at 856-315-1397, or you can send an email, team@robmaddi.com. That's team@robmaddi.com. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. We are so grateful for the sponsorship. So many great people. Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Restelli Foods Group, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. Anthony Munoz was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals with the number 3 overall pick in 1980. He played all 13 seasons for the Bengals. He was an 11-time Pro Bowl pick, 9-time All-Pro, and is widely considered the greatest left tackle in NFL history, Anthony was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1998. Anthony is also a strong believer. I caught up with Anthony Munoz on a red carpet at the NFL Honors event the night before the Super Bowl. Here is that conversation.
As a former Bengal, how excited are you that they have the opportunity to draft Joe Burrow with the number one pick, and what would he mean to the franchise?
You know, first of all, I've watched him closely. You know, the whole story, being an Ohio kid, backup at Ohio State, then, you know, Ed Orgeron's a close friend of mine, so seeing what he's been doing down there and giving Joe a chance after bringing him in 1 year, and then just having the phenomenal year, watching him, I've watched him quite a bit. You know, the bigger the game, the better he's played. So I think for the Bengals that in need of, you know, some help there, not only on the field, but I think, you know, that he is an Ohio kid, that it's going to help put some, you know, people in the seats. So I've just been, you know, more and more impressed each time I see him. I think we have the skill people that will help him. I think we have the head coach and Zach Taylor, who I think can, with his staff, help develop him. I still feel we need a little bit of work on the offensive line, but I think we have the people there that we can continue to really see progress and hopefully improve with, you know, Jonah Williams, who we've not seen because he was hurt. Hopefully, you know, I'm pretty sure he'll be healthy, just knowing his work ethic. And then, you know, if he's what they think he's going to be, put him at left tackle. You have Michael Jackson, man. I tell you what, if he can continue to get better, he's big, he's strong, he's athletic. And then Trey Hopkins has been nothing but consistent in the middle. So if we can kind of shore up that right side, I think we'll be good. You know, you still have Joe Mixon and Gio, and you got some pretty good tight ends. And, you know, not knowing what's going to happen with A.J. Green, I feel good about what's going on there, and I feel really good about taking Joe number one.
As a fellow brother in Christ, how important was your faith as a foundation for you throughout your NFL career?
It was the most important thing. You know, came to Christ my sophomore year in college. Thought I knew what it meant to prepare, and I thought I knew what it meant to be intense. But I didn't realize until after that faith journey started, and that's what really it was all about in the NFL, man, being able to play for Christ and preparation and intensity, which I knew it was going to have to be stepped up after college, and I'm thankful. And, you know, now 42 years in that faith journey, it's been amazing, you know, with not only my NFL career, and that's not the most important thing, you know, with my wife going into 42 years of marriage and with our kids and just in the community, the things that God's allowed me to do through my foundation across the country and even in Mexico, who's been there six of the last 8 years. So, you know, you get me started on that, we can talk and talk a lot about it. And guys that have been an influence on me and the pros when I first got to Cincinnati, Archie Griffin, only two-time Heisman Trophy winner, man. He really modeled what it was to be a Christ follower on the field and off the field. A guy that we lost here this last year, middle linebacker from North Dakota State, Jim LeClaire. I mean, when I first met him, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this guy didn't like people. He didn't want to. But then you find out, and he was a strong brother in Christ and one of the most intense football players that I've ever been around. So it's meant everything for me.
That was Pro Football Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz. Up next, we'll hear from A Walk with Grace creator Nick Kellis. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. Robin Remy, we are in Florida this month. Pastor Kyle is back home in Jersey. Nick Kellis is the writer, producer, and director of A Walk with Grace. It is a beautiful, faith-inspired movie. Nick is also a dear friend who we met when he produced our first reality TV episodes 8 years ago. This show, Faith on a Field, was born 3 years ago out of my desire to take Jesus to my marketplace. We are so proud to see Nick doing the same and creating this film. Here is our conversation with Nick Kellis.
Well, first off, I got to say, Rob Remy, what a pleasure to be on Faith on the Field and to be talking to you guys again. I love you guys.
Oh, we love you.
Because I had Yeah, you guys even came up. I had another bridezilla 6 months later. You guys drove up to New York and took me out to dinner. Mm-hmm. And that's not normal for a bridezilla and their producer. I had never done a bridezilla, and I had kind of left Hollywood. I had done some good stuff, and I had just left my second season of L.A. Inc. I got to work with lovely Kat Von D., and I had worked with Niecy Nash, and then I walked in, and there was Remy. So I'm good with divas, evidently, and that's why they sent me to you guys. I was done. Yes, you did. That was a week, and I walked in, and what was neat about it was I thought I was done, like I said, in Hollywood, and then I was born in Philly. So I was trying to carve out a new life. I teach kids multimedia in my hometown. My mom was ill at the time, and she's since passed, but I wanted to be close to her. And then I found a new life. I got into a relationship, and I realized I needed to get closer to where my roots were. Born in Philly, but raised in a town, Lima, Ohio. And where I wrestled, and then I went to Ohio State and all that good stuff. So it was time to come home, it felt like, in my life. And I get this call to do bridezillas. And what's cool is they just send you remotely. And they said, have you ever been to the East Coast, the Philadelphia, New Jersey region? And I'm like, yeah, I was born in St. Agnes Hospital.
Oh, and, wow.
yeah. And my dad's side of the family is from, they're from like, what is it? Cherry Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My cousin Eddie is in Haddonfield, and we were shooting in the small town while you guys were tied up. I think, or no, you were there. We shot, I think you met him, Rob.
I think so.
And he just walked up from his house. So I got to fly out a day early. I got to see my auntie Connie, who's my godmother. And that was around Mother's Day. So, you know, for me, it felt like kind of a God thing. You know, I just went through puberty there. God thing. I felt like a God thing. And, so I got to fly in. I got to see my cousin. I got to see my godmother and my uncle Ed. And so I'm like, I'm supposed to be here. And then I meet you guys, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be fun. I had survived people that I didn't like, and you guys are very difficult not to like. So that was step one, and I knew. Reality TV, I mean, everybody goes, where did they get the idea for bridezillas? And you go, well, you got a person who's willing to get married and all that craziness, and then they're willing to put a camera on it.
I mean, yeah, and
so they're going to be crazy.
Yeah.
yeah. And so you were nuts. But I like you guys were so willing. You get the thing. I mean, is reality TV scripted? It's structured. Yeah. But you just go. And, you know, you're going to collide. It's like a pinball. And you guys were game. And you had your moment. I remember you calling me, Rob, on Friday and going, do we have to do this? Remy's having a tough night. Yeah. And I said, Rob, yes, we do.
The first time I saw you.
And the first time I saw you guys, it was kind of like coming home. I mean, Rob, I think you grew up like a block and a half from where my mom grew up in South Philly.
Wow. Yeah.
And
was awesome, man. Because, and here's the thing, like Remy and I, we really hadn't watched the show. I had seen some bridezillas in the past, and we were like, well, listen, if we're going to do this, we're not going to do it like everyone else. And we kept going back and forth with the network, and they were like, no, we want to take it to, we want a classier looking wedding. And I'm like, well, that's what Remy wants. Yep. That's what we're going to do. And you were so willing and open to allow us to talk about, okay, hey, let's do this. Let's do this. Like, for example, the goose scene.
Or
the one at the jewelers, which people still continue to talk about, right? Yeah. The one at the jewelers where, unfortunately, the first time I threw the money, the camera didn't get it. So we just had to throw it again. But that's what it is. That's what you do.
Exactly. You just said, would you mind doing that again? And you said, yeah, where my head's at right now, I have no problem doing that again. And you threw the money where we needed to be thrown. Some of it felt, you know, like it felt real. And then it also felt like these two love each other. So I didn't feel like I was I kind of stopped doing that kind of, it's a great show. I love being part of the show.
Is it still on?
But you're kind of putting your, it's back. And what a great team to work with. But as a producer, you know, you're kind of putting your finger in the middle of somebody's really important week.
Yeah.
And so, and that's my job, and I got to keep pushing till the end. And, you guys got it that all the stuff that would occur organically and naturally, you got that it would work for camera, but you didn't hold back. So it was that really, it was that sweet spot of, is it contrived? You guys know what's going on, so, yeah. But you're also feeling all those things. And that's when it's good. You guys aren't faking it. You're letting it out. The cameras are catching it. And you're like, can you guys please go? I remember you did a drive-by, Remy, and you were like, get this camera out of my, I forget what you said, but you're like, I'm going to push you over the balcony or something. And it was like, oh, that was real. And great TV.
Hey, great acting. Great acting.
Yeah. And you know what? It went on.
I don't think it was great. Yeah, great acting is great reality, to be right, honest. But go ahead. Right, I'm sorry, Rob. Go ahead.
Yeah, it worked out so well. We went on to Marriage Boot Camp, the first season of Marriage Boot Camp. We had a tremendous run there. We did the Remy and Rob afterwards, and then we decided, hey, we're going to have little girls. We're going to focus on our family. Mm-hmm. We're going to focus on what we want to do, what our goals and our mission was, and we put that aside. But we had a nice run, and the best part about it, Nick, is it allowed us to build this incredible platform, really, with so many people out there who have gotten to know us through social media, because you didn't always see it. You really didn't see it, whether it was on Bridezilla's or on Marriage Bootcamp or anything else that we've done, but they get to see our faith through social media. And it's been, I can't tell you how awesome it is over the last 8 years, how many times people will reach out to us and just thank us because they're either encouraged or inspired or sometimes even challenged by what we say or what we put out there. And that's really what it's all about, building relationships with people and being able to help them in their life journey, because we're all going through something at some point in our lives, and to be able to direct it to, for us, what's most important is Jesus Christ. And then when we find out, hey, you're involved, right? You're involved with this movie, A Walk with Grace, which Remy and I talk about this all the time. We don't like watching TV, and we don't like watching TV in front of our little girls, because there's a lot of bad stuff out there, right? And then when you present me with this, you say, hey, I just produced this, wrote this, directed this. I'm like, wow, there's a faith element here. Yeah. We're able to comfortably sit down as a family and watch this movie. Tell me how you got involved and how you were able to. I mean, that is a difficult thing to do in this day and age, to be able to put this together. You wrote it, you produced it, you directed it. The movie's called A Walk with Grace. Talk about that.
Yeah, and I that was the goal from the beginning, but I'm going to circle back around to that and say that as a producer, you know, we live in the cult of personality age. Mm-hmm. And what I really enjoy about and what I respect producers to producers, we were laughing before we went on the air. It's like, and we're producers producing producers, you know, you guys have gotten it from day one. And so your trajectory was thought out. And you went in a direction, and then you just have evolved, and you've never wavered. You know, you got to make a splash to let the world see. You got to position yourself, but you did it in such a way that from the first frame, you were a strong couple who have a lot of passion. And I'm from South Philly. It's familiar. You know, but you also, there's nothing negative about what you do. I mean, it's all about love at the end of the day. And so I think I'm very impressed with where the two of you have taken your trajectory as a couple that can be, they use that word influencer, and it's trite. People just want to be famous. That's not what you guys are about. You want to change the world. And very impressive to me.
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, it's the truth. It's, you know, I think everybody listening right now gets that. And so we even chatted about, I was very impressed with your faith back then. And I had, the shift back from Los Angeles to my hometown was kind of faith driven. I reconnected with a woman who's a strong Christian, and I was rediscovering my faith, because you lose it, you know. And I think, and that's part of the process. I think a lot of people do lose it and come back, and you question and stuff, and then you have to go deeper, and you have to find it again. And so and test things, history, and you know where things lie. And it's funny, I've actually designed a few faith-based projects. I've gotten better at my Bible just from like getting scripts prepared and researching. And so when That's it came great. To this, awesome. Yeah, and it was, you know, how do we do this? How do I do something that, first of all, my hometown defined me? It's a good hometown city. Lima, Ohio, and they, you know, there's a strong work base. There's in so many places across the Rust Belt, they're trying to reinvent and just capitalize on kind of, you know, the new economy and also opportunities to keep people from leaving, to realize that sometimes, you know, it might be the right place to get things done and, business wise and life wise. And, that was kind of like, okay, I want to write something that honors that. I want to write something that honors that, you know, my faith has come back to me. I want to write something that mirrors coming back from Los Angeles and realizing this is a community that makes more sense to me. And it could be coming back to South Philly. And, you know, and had I grown up in South Philly, I would be back in South Philly right now. That's where I was at in my life. You know, I wanted to encapsulate all that but not have a heavy handed faith based message. It's people that are committed. I mean, we're fun. We go out and we're when I see you guys, it's a great dinner. You know, it's not, I wanted to kind of get a snapshot of people that faith is at every step of their life, but they're what we'd consider normal people. And I think I captured that in the movie. This isn't a movie about somebody being saved. Mm-hmm. This is a movie about someone who comes back. His faith is there. He's been an addict. I was not an addict. This isn't my story. You know, right. This is an engineer who comes back to put lay his mother to rest. And she, you know, from the grave, she has a machination. She basically hires his old flame. He's a widower. Mm-hmm. So she hires his old flame to be the attorney. Mm-hmm. To basically stall the factory sale. He has to come back and go through all the paperwork, and he has to return to his hometown with his daughter. And, you know, so grandma has two things. She wants to get him to fall back in love with his town and keep the factory going. And she wants him to come back and fall in love with this woman who is, you know, his path back to being complete again, since his wife has passed. And it just seemed like a nice, as a writer, it seemed like a nice environment to let characters bounce into each other. Yeah. Because the whole town, you know, guilts him into wanting to stay. And so you've got the love interest. It's got that Hallmark angle. But you've also got, the dude interest. You know, I went to a screening in Wapakoneta, Ohio, which is one town south of us. And, I used to wrestle against those guys. You know, there's a strong wrestling theme in the movie. And,
Remy and I are watching it. And, yeah, Nick, we're watching it, and I'm telling her, Nick was a wrestler. She's like, oh, that's why. Cause you know, Remy in sports, that was never contrived. Remy and sports do not mix. They do not get along. And she's like, what is with all this wrestling? And I'm like, babe, Nick was a wrestler. You knew he had to work that in there.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense now. But it was really good.
Thanks, Remy. I mean, I just had shoulder surgery, and one of those rotator tendons that tore probably wasn't back when I was on the mats. It was probably me farting around at almost 40 years old with a buddy, because wrestlers are nuts. And, you know, and so there is a scene where they're like, the pastor is his old wrestling, competitor.
Yeah, that was
competitor.
A great scene.
And they just start farting around in the lobby, and the senior pastor walks in and goes, gentlemen, it's a church. And, you know, and that got a huge laugh in Wapakoneta, which is a dude town. And then, you know, when the guys square off later, that got the most laughter. I got a buddy who's a Marine that goes to my gym, and he went to see the movie with his wife and said, you know, my wife loves Hallmark style movies, and she loved it. He goes, I usually am bored out of my mind, but I really enjoyed it. And I'm like, well, yeah, cause I got this subplot of what it means to be a man, what it means to feel that you have a fealty to the people that you came up with, you know, that are your teammates and competitors. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, of course, I wanted to touch on the veteran thing. I think our nation is, we're in the longest war we've ever been with. And, you know, our veterans are coming back and reassimilating. And that's something we need to be cognizant of as a society. The guy who plays the old wrestling buddy, mm-hmm. is Austin St. John, a dear friend. I mean, we're going back to like the Power Ranger days. Austin was the original Red Power Ranger.
Wow.
And, you know, he's a serious martial artist, like a fist to be black belt, has a huge following around the world. But we stayed friends through the years, and we lost contact when he was a contractor over in the sandbox. He was over in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And so he served as a technical medical operator. He served as a personal security detail guy. He's seen action. And on the day we were shooting that, he said to me, Nikki, do you mind if I rewrite this to make it more personal? Wow. And I said, Austin, as long as you end back to where you affect our hero enough to stick around for Good Friday, please be my guest. He said, you're going to get two takes. I'd say put the first one on me. And I did. And, you know, it's the pivot on the movie. It's his heart being poured out for his time that he's, you know, he says, I was a contractor. I didn't serve. I served the people that served. And I said, well, for us Americans, that's still service. And so I was very proud of that moment.
That's what you do so well, Nick, because you're able to work with the talent and really maximize not just their ability and their skills on screen, but understand their heart and what they're passionate about. There's a moment in here where you wrote in a reference to what is really my life verse, the Bible verse that I probably, whenever I sign, do a book signing, I probably put it at the bottom more often than not. And sometimes I mix it in depending on the person who I'm signing for, but it's also on my Twitter profile. Sure. It's Mark 8:36, and it's Jesus saying, what good is it to gain the whole world but forfeit your soul? And ultimately, that was the verse that when Remy and I were wrestling with our careers and reality TV and all that, we were like, what good is it to gain all of this fame and glory and forfeit who we are and forfeit our soul? And talk about what motivated you or what pushed you to include that in that scene in this movie.
I mean, that came out of a conversation with one of the owners of my gym, and she, you know, we just started talking about this, and that's what was cool was, you know, I'm on the West Coast, not a lot of conversations about faith. Here, it's just, you know, how'd the Buckeyes do? And, oh, I went to church and it was a great sermon. And, you know, and like, it's nice that's, you know, so it came up and that was her verse. And I said, that fits the theme of this film. The thing was, I didn't want to write a preachy film.
Right.
It's not what I'm experiencing. It's not my job. My job is not to, I'm not a pastor. I'm not here to save people. If I obliquely save people, I mean, in the walk with grace, when I sat down with David Lee Smith and Ashley Bratcher, who was the lead in Unplanned, you know, they were rewriting my words, and I'm like, I don't care. Again, as long as you arrive at the end of the scene, we've all done our job, and they did a lovely job. We sat at the QP restaurant here in Lima, Ohio, which is an icon and or an iconic spot, and we just worked through it. And she said, it was really cool. She said, this is a stealth altar call. And I thought, that's cool. Cause it's, you know, but it wasn't about being saved. It was about, you know, she says, do you have a real relationship with Christ? And he says, yes, I do. And she goes, how do you know? And then he explains it. And I had my own version. I wrote down how I, you know, was saved and came back to the fold, and they made it their own. And it's about discipleship. You know, it's like, I wanted to make a movie that was, it's not about being saved. It's like, okay, and now what do? We got 30 or 40 more years to go. Yeah. That's what I want. You know, if there are sequels, it's about how do you keep walking the walk? That's why it's called A Walk with Grace. It's a double entendre or a double Nintendo, as some of the kids say. You know, it was a joke and it just landed like a lead balloon. But, you know, that was my point, was to make a film that said, this is how you keep walking. So that verse was, you know, that's a verse you can live by, as obviously you have, Rob. And you know, and in the original version, we had to delete some scenes for time, but in the original version, Nate is back in Los Angeles in his office, and they're talking to him about his wife dying and about him spending basically, you know, he giving up his portion of his firm to do experimental treatments to keep his wife alive. And how it just drove her nuts. She's like, you're, and that's in the book too. We wrote a book.
Well, I'm glad that part wasn't in the book, because I cried enough I cried enough, and I'm a crier.
Yeah.
And
me too.
It's
the South Philly thing. It was. Okay, go ahead.
It was so, but it was so well done, and I love that scene where when she was talking to him about relationship, and we often do this on this show, relationship versus religion, because those of us who grew up in religion, who grew up in the structure, sometimes, more often than not, we may find ourselves turned off by some things, we may find ourselves walking away, but once we recognize, and that was my turning point. Once I realized it wasn't about a religion, it wasn't about do's and don'ts, it wasn't about the structure, it wasn't about sitting there and reciting prayers over and over again, but it was a direct connection to Jesus. It was a direct relationship. That's when it turned for me. I know that's when it turned for Remy. The movie's called A Walk with Grace. Nick Kellis, the producer, the director, the writer, tell everybody, because this is a great movie to sit down as a family and watch anytime, but it is built around Good Friday and Easter, and that's coming up here on the calendar real soon. So tell everybody how they can watch this movie.
Okay, so we'd love you to watch the film. I mean, there's a quote, there's a video that says that a wonderful woman in our town, she said, I love this because I can watch it with all my daughters. And she's got an 8-year-old and a 23-year-old, and they all gathered around and watched it. You know, there's something for everybody. Someone said to me, when she asks Nate about his faith, mm-hmm. he says, he says what he says. And somebody came up to me who's not, a Christian, and they said, yeah, how many times does that happen? And I'm like, if you're dating a Christian woman, she's decided she's going to kiss you. Yeah. She's decided she wants to know about your faith.
Right.
Oh, no
and
doubt.
And I've heard that over and over and over again. So that's what we wanted to make. That's what we wanted to make that real, is that, like what you said, it's a connection to Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's a connection to your how you want to live your life. So that is not trite stuff when you're going into a relationship. And I wanted to capture that. So you can get the film, download it on Amazon. It's also on 10 other platforms. And if you just Google it, you can find out all those platforms. If you go to A Walk with Grace, the movie on Facebook, we have all the platforms you can get it on listed. There are videos on how to download it. There are also videos on how to gift it. Well, one of our investors, Dr. Jim O'Neill, and I did a little movie over Christmas. One of our investors, Dr. Jim O'Neill, and I did a little video on how you can gift up to, over 900 rentals, for $2.99 to friends. I mean, we talk to people about if you believe in this, send it to your clients. I got financial planners that are sending rentals to their clients to go, I think you'll appreciate this. This is about what we all believe in.
I love
and,
that. Great.
Yeah, it's a tool to just, what we really want to do is there is no It's a Wonderful Life of Easter. There is no Elf of Easter. I had a screening.
Easter is not about a bunny, right? It's not about a bunny. It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So.
Right. And if you notice, it's a build up to Good Friday. And Good Friday is a heavy day for, sure, all us Christians. Yeah. It's a thought of introspection. I didn't land on it in a heavy way, but the movie gets solved on Good Friday with a meal. Yes. And it builds up. And there's a reason that there's a Palm Sunday service. Because Palm Sunday, they say there are C&E Christians, Christmas and Easter. But I think Palm Sunday, to me, is the most important day. And I'll tell you, I kind of plagiarized a pastor years ago, because I said, do I want to do this? And he gave that speech about walking like Christ. Mm-hmm. And it pulled the whole thing into focus. And I told the pastor, I'm plagiarizing you. I'm reworking some stuff. And he said, you got my blessing. And and so that's kind of why I wrote the thing, was based on that Palm Sunday sermon. Right. And so if you're coming back, the goal is 5 years from now, you come back from Palm Sunday brunch or Easter brunch and you watch this movie, and it grounds you in what's important about your walk with Christ, and not in a heavy-handed way. Because you get to listen to some good music, and you see some wrestling, and there's dancing, right. And there's, and a little kissing, and you feel good at the end of it. And I wanted to do that. My goal is that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, this is the Easter movie that everybody goes, oh, God, I got to watch it again. I got a buddy, John Streeter, I grew up with, and his wife goes, he drives me nuts. He downloaded it, and he just watches it while he's doing work. And I said, yeah, it's comfort food. And that's what I wanted it to be. It's comfort food that reminds you who you are when you need to be reminded.
Love it.
Honestly, Nick, you captured everything so brilliantly. And I think I just love the idea of falling back in love with Christ. And you really captured that beautifully in this movie.
All right.
I loved it. And, that's just us as Christians, that's really the most important thing, is that sometimes you walk back and you walk away from Christ, but you walk back to Christ, and he is always just right after you. Like, he's just always running after you full forth, and you just captured that really beautifully. It's so beautiful, and I loved it, and the girls loved it, and I'm pretty sure everybody that watches this movie will love it, because it's just a good movie.
It's awesome.
It's a good movie.
Fantastic. It's called A Walk with Grace. Nick Kellis is the writer, the director, the producer.
You know, what was cool was we didn't just want to make, you know, I mentioned we wanted to make a muscular Hallmark movie. We wanted to make something that appealed to the masculine side of, you know, this kind of story, and also appealing to the faith-based, you know, a Christian man's walk with, mm-hmm. you know, with Christ. And we got lucky. I wrote in the wrestling scene thinking it was going to be a throwaway. And I show up on the first day of the shoot, and the referee is J.D. Bergman. J.D. was a 3-time All-American at Ohio State. He is just a fantastic wrestler, and he just added so much heft. He's standing out there, and you go, I would never mess with this guy. A few weeks ago, I was watching the Ohio State-Penn State match on ESPN. J.D. is an announcer. I mean, he is a national presence. He's competed in the world. He's also, I come to find out, he's got his own online basically endeavor called In Team, where he goes to athletes and he says, what's your favorite Bible verse? You know, from Urban Meyer through all Ohio State athletes and then going nationwide. He basically is all about reaching out to kids and people giving at least a Bible verse, if not their testimony, and letting children know, or not children, but letting kids know that there is a path to Christ, and that athletes that they look up to are following that path, and they can too. And that's In Team. So I got this guy on my set that not only is physically and performance-wise perfect for the movie, but his spirit is lockstep with the movie. So then you start to go, this is kismet. And then completely unrelated, Stephen Baldwin is in the movie. He plays the bad guy. He's got a wrestling background. He goes, you know, did you know that you guys asked Tom Ryan, the head coach of the Buckeyes, to be in this movie? And I'm like, we did? So I talked to my wrestling coordinator, and she's like, well, you wrote Ohio State Scout, so I called Ohio State. And oh, I was wow. like, I just thought, I thought you'd use my scarlet and gray sweatshirt that doesn't have a logo on it. Like, and she goes, you got the bonus plan. So Tom goes on Twitter. He is one of the nicest, best people. Tom Ryan, the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, does an extremely, just a very strong Christian. It radiates through his whole team. And that's how he runs his team, with Christian values. And that's, you know, and he believes that's where their strength comes from. And he hits up on Twitter and says, I wish I could do this. He hits up Stephen Baldwin, but it conflicted with training for the world championship. And so Stephen says, what should I do? And I said, on your last day, let him know we'll write a scene for him on Twitter. And Tom Ryan says, yeah, I'll come in. He drives in the morning. We write a quick scene. And it just reinforced, again, the spirit of the movie, which was, there are strong men that are strong Christians. Right. And they people our world. And that is something that we anchor ourselves to. There are strong people that are strong Christians. And I think that that's one of my favorite things in the movie, is that I have this amazing athlete, this amazing coach who was an amazing athlete. And I have these amazing people that all brought so much spirit and so much faith to this film. And I just hope that that can be communicated to audiences across America and for a long time to come, and on Amazon and 10 other platforms.
That has been my mission, man. That has been my mission, to make sure that people can understand. And that's probably going to be in my next book, something along those lines, where you can be a strong man and a strong Christian and put that all together,
right?
Because
here,
being a real man, we have this worldly definition of what a real man's supposed to look like, but to me, a real man really is a biblical man, someone who's going to lead his family and step out there and lead his children into that relationship that we've been talking about with the Lord. Nick Kellis, he is the writer, the director, the producer of A Walk with Grace. You were our producer way back 8 years ago for Bridezilla's, man.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you so much
yes,
for coming
you,
on
Nick.
And sharing
thank
with
you,
us.
Robin,
and so great to chat with Nick, and hope everyone checks out A Walk with Grace. I am sure you're going to love it like we did. Thank you to all of our listeners and followers. Thanks to Anthony Munoz and Nick Kellis for being on this episode. Big thank you to Doug Horton for handling the business side. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, and blog. Jim Henderson for all his work behind the scenes. And thanks to our producer, Ryan. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.